Well, good Thursday morning, everybody. Welcome to the WLBB Community Voice Program, our show brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy here on Newstalk 1330 FM 106.3. And this morning, you'll see the gentleman with my matching outfit on our Facebook Live page, Newstalk 1330 WLBB Facebook page, District 18 State Rep Kevin Cook. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I appreciate you jumping in here. We hadn't talked to you since the session ended. I was trying to, you know, thinking about what we would talk about on the show, and we hadn't talked about the end of the session. I think we got you at the midpoint or so.
That's right.
But we didn't get you at the conclusion. 252 things we can talk about, and I know we always plan to talk about all of them. We ended up talking about one and then 15 other things that we didn't initially plan on, even like Georgia Bulldog football.
But we can talk that too. You
know, let's talk about some bills that were passed and actually went into effect on July the 1st. What's the first one that jumps out to you that was real important that kicked off this past July?
Well, obviously, this past session, there were a number of good things that we were able to accomplish. But to me, the biggest was the heartbeat bill. And I'm sure that everybody listening right now and watching on Facebook and seeing us in our matching outfits that we did not plan prior to.
Oh, get it.
Great,
lie.
Great minds.
You're already lying 2 minutes into the show.
I mean, it's been all over the news, especially during session. Obviously, it was very contentious. But that said, in my 9 years of voting on pieces of legislation, that was the most important piece of legislation I'd ever voted on, and the most proud I was and relieved I was to see a bill pass.
You know, there's a lot of times, I'll see bills passed, and we'll see video footage, and you'll see people applaud and cheer. Was that one of the bills that happened? When it was approved,
the gallery was filled with a number of individuals who were both for and against, a number that were against, but on the floor itself, it was, like I mentioned, it really was just a sense of relief. I saw a number of other representatives just, you know, giving each other hugs. It's actually against House rules to applaud. So typically the speaker, if there's any applause there on passage or failure of a bill, he will hit his gavel pretty quickly to make sure he gets order back in the chamber. And it's definitely against the rules for the members to do it, although it happens from time to time.
You mentioned the speaker. We'll talk a little bit about him as we get into the show. With this fetal heartbeat bill, it doesn't take effect until January
of
2020. And there's still some speculation that, I guess, the option that it could disappear. There's currently lawsuits going on to stop it, and of course there's some challenges from Hollywood that are, you know, against that, and that could affect Georgia's economy. Do you see anything getting in the way of
it's,
that happening in January?
It's not going to affect Georgia's economy whatsoever. These people from mostly California, but some from New York, other places where some of these Hollywood actors and actresses are from, they engage this process and literally don't have a clue as to what they're talking about. One, they don't know how Georgia works. Two, they don't know the principles and feelings of the vast majority of Georgians. And three, and most importantly, they don't decide where movies get made. The tax incentives are why Hollywood has now come to Georgia. It has nothing to do with what we do within our legislature and what our governor signs. They can say all they want to, but the fact of the matter is they follow the money. And where they can make the most money is where they go.
And why will this not get shut down by the courts?
It is currently, I know there is one case that has been brought against it. It was crafted very specifically to avoid some of the pitfalls that other states have, and where they've engaged this process before. It has been thrown out in different courts. So we are, I think, well-positioned with what we did to, frankly, come across as exactly with what our intent was, which is to protect the lives of the unborn. And this was, out of all the states that are doing it, I believe ours was the best and will be the best and will stand the court scrutiny.
Kevin Cook is the District 18 representative for the state of Georgia that covers portions of Carroll and portions of Harrelson County as well.
Right.
Is the end of next year going to be 10 years, a whole decade?
The end of next year, 2020,
yeah,
will be 10 years. My hair was nice and dark.
You're still a strapping young kid over. Your hair is freaking awesome. It's 8:36. Community Voice program brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy. Session ended, end of March, early April?
Mm-hmm.
What happens in that time up until, because you're not going to campaign this year for anything, what happens in that time up until, I guess December when you start buying your new suits and stuff?
Right. Yeah, you hope you fit into your suits from the year before. Honestly, for different reps is different things. For me, usually it's kind of a reset. Try to spend time with my two little girls and my wife. And even though I come back and forth every single day, I don't stay in Atlanta. It's a big deal to me to get to spend some time with them that I don't typically get to spend time with during session the same way, at least. A lot of times it's, kissing my girls on the forehead after they've been asleep and kissing them on the forehead when they're asleep before I leave in the mornings early. But that's kind of part of it. Just take some time to decompress a bit and spend time with them. Sometimes we'll go on vacation. We had in the last few years, didn't this year, kind of went straight back to work. Being in the legislature and a part-time legislature, which I wouldn't change for anything in this world. The last thing we need to do is give the Georgia legislature a full-time go at this, because we will screw something up if you just let us sit there and think about things all the time that we can do to change Georgia.
Do you see more bills being brought forward if it's a longer session?
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, if it was...
And I know you're like, less government's better, yeah. Like less time we're making,
exactly.
Making rules and things.
Exactly.
Better.
Well, a good point to that is... Mm-hmm. And I'll get back to answering your question, but a little sidebar here. I had an engineer out at my house the other day, and regulated industries controls what the engineering field in the state of Georgia does with regard to licensing, et cetera, rules, regulations. And I'm not an engineer, and neither are most other members on the regulated industries committee. That doesn't mean that we can't do our job and do it well. It just means that if you give them January through December to really dig into that kind of stuff and you don't really know what you're talking about, or you don't dig in and find out from engineers what actually goes on day in, day out, which unfortunately from time to time happens, which is why I vote no a fair amount, because we do have the ability at times, and also unfortunately we have done at times got involved in things that professional licensing should take care of themselves. That's just an example why I think and I love that we're only in for a certain portion, 40 legislative days. To finish my answer, the other thing we try to do is get back and make some money. I mean, when you're up there, you kind of put business on hold. And that's, again, though, I think that's a great part of it, because the bills that we're putting forward, passing, that become law, we have to live under the same ones that we're passing. So I think that's super important, as opposed to maybe our federal Congress who – is exempt from most of what they do.
When session is out, what kind of issues do constituents reach out to you for? I mean, I'm sure, every now and then something will pop up in the news. And I'll give an example, the Child Detainment Center. AJC did a story last week where the federal government is reaching out for private citizens if they have some land and a property that they are willing to sell. And they built this, I think it's from maybe east of Atlanta, down south, going out to I-27, along I-20, I-27 it ends. To below that, they built this big, triangle of where they would like to find a place to build this child detainment center. I guess, what are your feelings overall about that, about the federal government looking in our region, and maybe what you think? Do you think there's a need for that?
I really couldn't, outside of news reports and things I've seen, I couldn't speak to the need quite as much. I could speculate, but that's all it would be.
Would you be in favor if they said, hey, we want to find us, if we found a spot in Carroll County? And I guess, I mean, do you think there is a spot in Carroll County, based on the dimensions, and I don't know what they are offhand about how big of a property they need and building and then acres for the kids to play and things like that. Would you be against having something like that in Carroll County?
What makes the most sense to me is for them to build any facilities that they need to build where those individuals came across or near where they came across. The point being that eventually these people should be sent back to include the children. The unfortunate part about that that we've tried to really tackle, I know First Lady Marty Kemp, one of her big initiatives is human trafficking. And what we're seeing already, and some reports that I've gotten from the state level with regard to what's going on the federal level, with these children coming over the line are we have people that are literally purchasing children and for the purpose of getting across the line, because obviously there's different rules on the federal level with illegal immigration when they come across with a child. And literally human trafficking is happening due and because of that as well. So it's a huge criminal industry that we have to be very, very wary of. And I would be, obviously it's not up to me because I'm not on the federal level, but I would be very, very slow to build any detention centers anywhere else in the United States to basically take an issue that has already occurred with regard to, and most of the time it's human trafficking. Some, they are legitimately children of the member family members coming across, but they found in a lot of cases that's not the case, or they're finding more and more of that now. I would not be for basically spreading them out regionally throughout the country. What we need to do is find their parents back home and get them back to them.
I want to say that maybe even Georgia is not the only state that they're talking about with doing this. But when you look at those states, do you think it's more of kind of like sending a message, a political message? Because, and I'll tell you, I reached out to Congressman Drew Ferguson, who, you know, this should focus on as our congressman because it's a federal issue. You know, not so much the local people at this point, but I asked you because I talked to Mike Dugan about it, State Senator Mike Dugan about it. And he really didn't have anything to say about the process that's going to happen. His comment became political. The statement he sent to me, or his office sent to me, it was like, well, if the Democrats would wake up and not let this happen, then we wouldn't need this. He didn't give me more of a statement about why is this coming to Georgia, why is our area. But do you think it's more of a political thing even to throw Georgia into this conversation just so Georgia people wake up and get more fired up about it?
It could quite possibly. I couldn't necessarily speak to that.
I know, but you're an outspoken guy. When I lobby something like that, I don't want to see you get fired up.
Well, I do and can definitely get fired up politically, and not so much politically. I say this, people look at me kind of crossways, but I'm not a political guy. I care about the policy stuff, and that's why I get myself in trouble sometimes. Well, it doesn't bother me one bit, but I say what I believe. I say what I believe that my district believes, and thus far they've chose to put me back in office, and I'm honored to do that. But I'm also not going to sit back and keep my mouth shut when there's real issues and somebody needs to say something, because when I do that, there's now getting towards 60,000 people that I represent that don't have a voice. So
District 18 State Rep Kevin Cook, our guest on this morning's Community Voice program, brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy. We are on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3, and this morning on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page. Any questions or comments for us in the last 15 minutes, feel free to post those up there, and we'll try and take a peek at them during the break, and we'll come back and see how much see if we can get Kevin Cook in some trouble with the next questions. We'll do that after this break. Community Voice on News Talk 1330.
A well-rounded education includes much more than just academics. At Oak Mountain Academy, we encourage our students to find their niche in any of our 42 co-curricular opportunities. Over the past 5 years, we have brought home 5 state and 20 regional athletic titles. Our one-act play and literary teams continuously compete at the region and state level, and our academic teams bring home first place more than not. We are warriors creating legacies. To learn more, visit oakmountain.us.
At Tanner, we're advancing health throughout West Georgia and East Alabama because we know that exceptional care isn't based on how many patients we serve, but how well we serve them. That's why we're focused on quality, delivering the best possible care for our patients. It's why we're expanding our clinical services and building new facilities to serve our growing community. And it's why we're looking beyond our hospitals and medical practices to develop sustainable wellness and preventive health programs in our region. What makes a hospital great has changed. It's not how many beds we have. It's how well we care for the neighbors who need them. Delivering the right care to every patient, every time, is how Tanner is advancing health with medicine beyond measure. Learn more at tanner.org. Or find a physician on our medical staff by calling 770-214-CARE.
Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice Program. Our show brought to you by Tanner Health System on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. This morning, you can catch us live on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page. Catch me and Kevin in our matching outfits this morning. Already got some comments here from listeners and viewers. Bill Keskis says, good morning. Also has a question for you. Is it possible to have local legislation making all Carroll County effective offices nonpartisan? His opinion, it does not look good to have partisan judges, partisan sheriff, and partisan county commissioners and chairman.
Well,
that would have to be done by legislation.
Yes, right? It would. It would. And typically, the way we have done things since I've been in office is whenever we're dealing with local legislation, we take a very hands-off approach in that we don't try to do the job of the local officials, meaning if there's something that the county wants to change in their charter, for instance, they send it to us. And there are different county delegations throughout the state that have different legislative rules as to how they do that. And most delegations set up their rules. Some require a unanimous vote from whatever board, whether it's a city or a county, to make any change. Or in my opinion, one that's best is a supermajority. Because if you use my example of the county wanting to change the charter, it doesn't need to be just a majority, because then with each subsequent administration within a county government, they could change the charter back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. So that's why it's important it's at least a supermajority. And like I mentioned, there's some delegations at the Capitol that they require a unanimous vote. So it's very, very difficult to change things like a charter. Then there's other things like partisan races, which we actually see a fair amount with judges. And typically you see reps doing the same thing. They either always vote for them or always vote against them, whether it involves their area or not, frankly. Let me say this, particularly about one of the offices that he asked the question about with regard to sheriff. I get his point, but at the same time, our sheriff's our last line of defense against most other government, to include the federal government. So, for instance, I want to know that my sheriff, which I do know my sheriff and know him well, he happens to be Republican and very pro-Second Amendment. That's a big deal to me, because I'll know that my sheriff, no matter what the federal government passes down, won't come knocking on my door with regard to guns or any other issues where it directly involves the citizens of Carroll County and any activities right now that are not criminal behavior that could be, where we see sometimes, if you look at the current Democratic presidential candidates, a lot of them speak about the Second Amendment, to continue on my example. Well, if one of those yahoos were to get elected and then were able to, by executive order, not by law, going through Congress the way it's supposed to be done, and then ultimately amending the Constitution, but by executive order do something like that, I'm proud to know that I have a sheriff that wouldn't enforce it.
Also on Facebook, Ricky and Bonnie Rayburn said, great job, and Kevin, keep standing strong. And Rick Tillman, Carroll County Republican chairman, says hi and good morning to us.
Thank y'all.
Good morning. Appreciate them checking us out on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page. Before we take our next break, we were talking about going to legislators to, you know, change things in the charter. Has anything happened, anything in the last 10 years? And heck, there may be 50 things, maybe just setting you up here for a long answer. But how many things have local municipalities come to you asking for a change in a charter? And maybe you didn't go through with it. And if you didn't, why wouldn't you?
Well, again, like I mentioned earlier in my answer to the previous question, we typically take a pretty hands-off approach. We are sent the legislation as to how the local governments want certain things to be done, and then we act based off of what they sent if they met the vote threshold. Because ultimately, local government, that's the closest to the people. So on the state level, we don't intend to subvert the will of the local governments based off of just what we think or what we believe. Now, if there was some crazy measure, there's times I'll be honest to say that I would if it gets to a certain point, then I would step in or at least reach out to do some town halls, but to make sure that ultimately was the will of the people. But it's really not our job to do the local government's job. Like, you've heard me on this show for years complain about the federal government getting involved in state government.
But they need you to make that change to the charter, right?
So, I mean, they
you
do.
Ever said no?
They do. I have not, unless they didn't meet the vote threshold. Okay. There has been two or three occasions where we have been sent some official correspondence that basically went around the delegation rules from a member or two of local governments. I won't say which one because it really doesn't matter. But the point is that they didn't meet that threshold of a supermajority vote, or in one or two cases we have a unanimous rule, and they didn't meet that. So that's it. But we've changed the charter of Carroll County since I've been here. Mm-hmm.
851, Kevin Cook, District 18 State Rep, our guest on this morning's Community Voice program, brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy. We'll come back with about 8 minutes. Stay tuned.
At Tanner, we're advancing health throughout West Georgia and East Alabama, because we know that exceptional care isn't based on how many patients we serve, but how well we serve them. That's why we're focused on quality, delivering the best possible care for our patients. It's why we're expanding our clinical services and building new facilities to serve our growing community. And it's why we're looking beyond our hospitals and medical practices to develop sustainable wellness and preventive health programs in our region. What makes a hospital great has changed. It's not how many beds we have. It's how well we care for the neighbors who need them. Delivering the right care to every patient, every time, is how Tanner is advancing health with medicine beyond measure. Learn more at Tanner.org or find a physician on our medical staff by calling 770-214-CARE.
At Oak Mountain Academy, our daily schedule includes convocation, prayer, and the Pledge of Allegiance. By doing so, we build a family-like community where all students grow and flourish and personal faith is encouraged. Through community service and a historical approach to biblical study, our students are taught the value of the warrior way, honesty, respect, and responsibility. Oak Mountain Academy, we are a family creating legacies. To learn more, visit oakmountain.us.
.853, welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice program, also streaming live on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page. We do have a new quote, a comment here, Jeannie Dollar. I reject anyone's loony idea that a wacko would be coming for guns and a perfect example of the partisan response. You know that is not true.
No, I don't know that that's not true. Actually, one of the recent reps who just dropped out, congressman, that was his number one issue, as that was his platform, was gun control. And him, Kamala Harris, a number of others have already said that they would, if they had to, by executive order, attack an individual's Second Amendment rights. And that ain't happening.
Gene, we do appreciate the comment.
Yeah, thank you for the comment.
Anybody else to post their comments and questions in the future when we do this kind of program. We've got about 5 minutes left, and I wanted to talk to you about David Ralston, House Speaker, a little bit. He, coming under fire, AJC, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, wrote an article, a pretty in-depth investigation. Talk to us a little bit about that, your perspective on that. I mean, you actually were one of maybe a handful of Republicans who called for him to resign.
I did. First, let me say that In the legislature, obviously everybody has to go home and make money, be in business, do whatever they do outside of the legislature to have a living. So I don't begrudge anybody, to include my friends that are attorneys, particularly my friends that are attorneys that are in the legislature, for having the need at times to do legislative stays, which they receive as an attorney. They can do a legislative say, due to my legislative duties, I cannot make that court date. They're one of only a few, if not the only, profession that can do that, which, again,
farmers can't do that.
Farmers can't do that. People in investments can't do that. You still got to beat a closing if you have one. But the issue for me is when it has been used close to 1,000 times or more over a period of time of service that is troubling to the point to where you have to consider, one, is this individual using his office to also benefit his private practice? I think there is a good argument for that because some of his clients have actually mentioned in an interview that it was the best one individual in particular. I think he said it was the best $25,000 he ever spent because it kept his court case out of court for years and years.
And the frustration there is, you know, not only are you putting the alleged victim's family, you know, through an ordeal over the time that you're making that, but witnesses tend to forget things.
That's exactly right.
And that's a strategy anyway. I mean, that's a defense attorney strategy.
That's exactly right.
But we would hope that our state,
particularly somebody who's leading the house, would not do things like that. And it is troubling to the point to where I, along with nine other of my colleagues, and frankly, there were many more, but at the end of the day, and when it came time to sign that resolution, they went and sucked their thumb in the corner because they were scared of losing a chairmanship or a very, very, very important bill that I'm sure was going to change Georgia because, you know, it hadn't been done in 240 years. So without them, what would we do? But they were saying they would sign the resolution, and then when it became time to do it, they went away. But there's still plenty of them out there that feel the same way as the 10 of us who signed the resolution calling for him to resign. And he can fall back on people that are within the house that want to keep their chairmanship, or they do have a pet bill coming through. He can keep those people in line to a certain degree. But while the AJC continues to do, and other papers, other news outlets continue to say this is what's going on, this is what's happening, the more the public knows, the more angry they get about it, and they should.
It's 8:58, wrapping up our conversation with District 18 State Rep Kevin Cook, 2020. I mean, we're half a year away from it to that session. What do we see the biggest talking points for that during that session?
A big thing is obviously our number one constitutional duty, which is to balance the budget.
And that always just feels like it's the easiest thing because we always push that aside because there's something controversial that comes up.
But obviously
that is the one that needs to get done. But any kind of issues that Georgia's going to face?
We'll just continue to keep an eye on revenues to make sure that both the estimates and the actual revenues that are coming in are meeting – continuing to meet the needs of Georgia, and we'll obviously tackle the amended budget first when we get back in and then go on to the big budget. But that's really the big thing that we'll be looking into this next session. There'll be a number of bills. There'll be some holdovers from this past year that'll come back to life. But that would be one of the main things.
And as usual, I come in with 30 things to talk about, and we probably talked about one because we diverted things. But, I mean, all important stuff, and we appreciate talking to you every time you come in here.
Well, thanks for having me, Colin.
District 18 State Rep Kevin Cook, our guest on this morning's Community Voice program. If you missed any of the show, you can find it in a podcast form on our website, newstalk1330.com. And, of course, you can rewatch the Facebook Live video, which is on the Newstalk 1330 WLBB Facebook page, and that's accessible 24/7.